Welcome back to Rome Boys. On this episode, we're joined by Teresa Tamio.
Yeah. I can't even believe it.
Woo!
We're excited, Teresa. Thank you so much. I feel like I need to like address you with some sort of name, like Your Eminence or something. Sorry.
Well, wait a minute. Don't tell me you guys are supporting the female priesthood. I'm on the wrong side. What the heck's going on?
Hey, thanks for calling me out on that. I'm glad we're clear and on the same page. No.
Not exactly. At all.
No, that's funny. Hey, and listen, I want to tell your audience, these guys are amazing, because what do I do for a living? I want total humility, total disclosure. I wrote down the wrong date for the interview. I thought it was tomorrow, and these guys are so patient. And so thank you for adjusting.
You're awesome.
No problem.
No worries. No worries here. Well, a little bit about Teresa.
If you didn't already know.
Right. Teresa Tamio is an author, syndicated Catholic talk show host, and motivational speaker with more than 30 years of experience in TV, radio, and newspaper.
Started at 5.
Right?
Exactly. Thank you.
You're trying to get brownie points, or you're just trying to get a little bit better than Dr. Ray. In 2000, Teresa left the secular media to start her own speaking and communications company, Teresa Tamio Communications. Her weekday morning radio program, Catholic Connection, is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the EWTN Radio Network.
I listen every day.
Thanks for keeping us in tune. Sorry,
I like to tell people that, you know, I like to listen to Catholic radio to get my news, because I would rather get my news from somebody who believes they'll go to hell if they lie to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you. You know, and it's interesting you mentioned the newscast, because I put so much effort into that newscast every single day. When I started the show almost 20 years ago, and it was before it was syndicated in EWTN, I was still doing my own newscast. And now Cresta and my station manager, Mike Jones, said, well, you know, how do you see the rundown, the outline of the show? I said, well, we have to do news. We have to do weather. I don't want people going to a secular station to get news and to get the basic information that they need. So every morning, I spend a lot of time on doing that news and putting that newscast together. And it gets more and more difficult, guys, because the media, it's just so out there. We can talk about that, but it's so crazy. Mm. And normally, for someone with my experience now, you know, 20 years in the secular media, I've been in the business almost 40 years since I graduated from college in 1981. I can literally do a newscast with my eyes closed, because I've been doing it for so long. Yeah. But now it's like you have to go through so many different sources and filters, and you have to understand the language they're using, and you have to double check it. And not that I wouldn't double check, but you have to triple check, make sure it's at. It's crazy the amount of time just to do a newscast, but I take it very seriously, because the stories that we do, even in the 10, 15 minutes of my newscast, people are not going to hear on the secular media.
And we appreciate your hard work, and we tell our audience, everybody listen to Teresa Thomas.
It's the truth. And you know, God is working on this conversation right now, and I don't want to sound cliche in saying that, but we were just sitting here talking like, how in the world does she get all this stuff? Where do you get your information from? But obviously you're filtering it like crazy.
It is a lot of work, but because I'll tell you, this is, you know, we could talk about this in the book too, Listening for God, but the way God trains you for something that you don't expect to do. So in my previous life, you know, and I actually came back to the church during my years as a secular news person. I was out anchoring either every day or out in the street. It depends. When I was in radio, I did both anchoring and news reporting. When I was in TV, I did mostly street reporting. So I was out every single day, and I had to, you know, write and record and report live or send in reports 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. So I was constantly on the go. I was constantly assessing. I was constantly interviewing and doing that constant training of interview after interview, edit after edit, live shot after live shot, live newscast. That training taught me where to go for information, how to edit quickly, how to do sound bites, how to use natural sound. All the things that get pulled together and what we do on my show are reflected in my years of experience. Never thinking when I was doing this, you know, 5 days a week for year after year, that God would be taking that training and using it the way he's using it now. I thought it was for my glory, not for his glory, and that I was getting all the accolades and the big money and the awards. But I look back now, and there's no better training for what I did in the trenches 20 years for live radio and TV to what I'm doing now. It's just
praise God. That's awesome. Really God is awesome. Good.
Yeah. That it answers so many questions just about, you know, I say this, not everyone has the gift of choosing their words wisely. And to be able to share a message without having to fumble over your words and hold back. I mean, you do a really good job of articulating your message, and it's not commonly found. And
in a way that's bold and truthful, but not alienating anyone.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a good delivery. I respect what you do. Amen. I appreciate it for sure.
Well, I think it's the training. Plus also, I think when people talk to me about my program, they say, when I listen to Catholic Connection, I feel like we're just having a conversation, like I'm having a cup of coffee. I'm out with my best friend or my girlfriend. That's the best compliment I could ever get, because radio is a conversation. We come into people's homes, we're in their cars, you know, wherever you are now, because of all the different applications, you know, with different podcasts and the way you can listen online, you know, people take you with them everywhere. So it's an even more personal medium. And I'm very open. I'm very honest. And I'm very direct about what God did in my life and my marriage and where he's brought me and my husband to this point. And, you know, we have to preach the truth, but we have to do it in a way. The reason I love this new book, my latest book, is because it's about stories. It's about testimonies. Yeah. Jesus was the greatest storyteller that ever walked the earth. Mm-hmm. And if we can tell those stories, then we can reach people. People have to know Jesus first and how he's affected your life, my life, before they're going to buy into all the beautiful theology, the theology of the body, the teachings on marriage, the teachings on life. Unless they know Jesus and understand he's the one who founded the church and what he can do for us and wants to do for us and the rest of it, it's not going to make any sense. But I do think the professional training that I've had is really important, because emotions are very high right now, and we've just gone through an horrific election, and the country is so divided. You have to be able not to suppress the truth or hide it, but you have to be able to present it in a way where people are going to be open to listening to you. And that's where the training comes in, and the self-editing, the live self-editing that I've been trained to do. So all glory to God. I never thought I'd be doing this. You know, if you would have told me 20 years ago, 25 years ago, if you would have told me I'd be doing this, I would have told you you were a few sandwiches short of a picnic. I never expected.
And so, that's the call of Vatican II, right? And the call of the laity, that we need to have holy people in all sectors of the workforce and, you know, vocations and that kind of thing. So thank you for taking that on.
In your book, I really love the idea of bringing all these names together, Vanessa DiNagarmo and Steve Ray, you know, we've interviewed these folks, been on radio with them. It's awesome to bring it all together. I mean, it's very powerful to hear all these different voices.
Because people can't argue with a story, right?
Yeah.
Right. And God speaks to us differently. Each person is different. So he speaks to us in different ways. And I've been collecting stories of my own over the years, but I didn't want it to be just about me, because I know talking to so many people that God has spoken to them in a particular way at a particular point in their life. So I thought, let's just have people from all different walks of life, some well-known, some not so well-known, but amazing believers who have really encountered God in unique ways.
Second point that you brought up, I'm always going to talk, Teresa, so you may hear these guys know it. But how do you stay so positive in such,
especially checking out the media as it is.
It's a challenge. It's a constant challenge. And one of the things I've done is I've scaled back even my own media exposure as a news person, as someone who does a daily talk show for 2 hours a day. You know, it's a double-edged sword. I have to stay connected and aware of what's going on, but I don't have to watch everything. I don't have to watch 3, 4, 5 hours of news programs or news talk every single night, which I actually was doing before the election, just trying to keep up on everything. But it can get to you. You have to have silence. So what I do is I do watch a little bit of it. I'm always looking online for things and going to different Catholic resources and secular sources that I trust. But I keep positive. Here's the thing that I think about. Every time I go to Mass, every time I see my husband vested, every time I see him on the altar, and I think about what God done in our life and the fact that our marriage was saved, that he's a deacon, and that I'm a Catholic talk show host, even the fact that just our marriage was saved and he became a deacon, every time I think about that, it's like I just have to go on every single day. I stay positive because I know the miracles that God has done in my life, and I can't not, you know, I can't keep silent about it. So that's what keeps me upbeat, because God is a God of miracles, and he wants the abundant life for us.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah. It's like, you know, your husband as a deacon, he never clocks in, but he also never clocks out. Right. Sounds like you're mirroring his leadership there. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned something just a second ago about, you know, checking on the secular news organizations that you trust. I'm sure that's a short list.
That's getting shorter every day, my friend. Let me tell you. You know, I don't even know if I would say I trust them. I think because everything has to be filtered, and I can analyze a sentence. I mean, I'll tell you a story, and I don't have a problem saying that the outlet. I do go to Newsmax. I think they do a decent job. And they were writing a story about Senator Rand Paul, who recently took on the nominee for education secretary. And I watched the entire exchange on C-SPAN, and Senator Rand Paul was very upfront, but he was very calm. So the way the reporter wrote the story, he described Senator Rand Paul as being apoplectic during the testimony. And I'm like, so I wrote in the comment section, I said, excuse me? I said, did the writer even look up the word apoplectic and what it means? Do they even understand that it means enraged and furious? And he was very calm during the whole thing. So even these quote unquote websites that are supposed to be more balanced and expressing, you know, both sides of the story, especially the conservative side, which is totally skewed in the news now.
Yeah.
Even within those organizations, there are agendas and people who are, I think, very, very fearful of the cancel culture and are trying to, you know, bow down to the cancel culture. And it just drives me absolutely nuts. I just don't understand the basic art of journalism 101. I'm talking just basic questions. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's for the most it's all propaganda.
Yeah, there's no neutrality there.
Yeah.
Right.
It seems like you're doing it. Raymond Arroyo's doing it. There's a few voices out there, so praise God you're there. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I love Raymond. He makes me laugh. He's got a great sense of humor, and he and I have a lot of conversation. We're very good friends, and he's very supportive of my work. But I'll tell you again, I mean, the basic ethics of journalism, it's gone. I look at these stories, and it's like that would never have been acceptable. What reporters do now. I mean, I would have been fired on the spot if I had tried any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they would have been fired on the spot.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, you mentioned that there's an alarming statistics that American adults spend over 11 hours connected to some sort of social media or some sort of media.
Right.
Is that daily, weekly?
That's daily.
Well, no, the statistics are pretty much daily. And I mentioned this in the book because one of the points of the book, Listening for God, is that a big way that we're going to hear from God and recognize his voice is through silence. And we can't hear him if we don't silence the noise that comes into our life. My very first book, which came out in 2007, was called Noise. And it really analyzed all the different, and this was back in 2007. So what was that, 14 years ago? And it was bad then. It's 10 times worse now. Mm. So what I encourage people to do in Listening for God, at the end of the book, I wrap up with several ways in terms of, okay, how do we recognize God's voice? How do we hear him? We're not going to hear him if we have the media on all the time. Even good Catholic media, like your program and my program, there comes a point where you have to silence everything so we can just have that quiet time with the Lord. And I think one of the best ways to do that, I think, is adoration. When you go and you sit before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, when there's, you know, just nobody else but you know, the two of you there, and you're able to just say, okay. I mean, and there are times, I remember a couple of weeks ago when I was at adoration and I was just so frustrated with all the things that were happening. And I just went, and I'm not like St. Teresa of Avila. She's my favorite. But what I like about her was her directness with the Lord. And I'm kind of like that in terms of the way I speak to God. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I got nothing. I got nothing. But I'm here and I love you. And I'm just saying, my brain is fried. My heart is, I got nothing, but I love you. And I just sat there and I just soaked up the presence. That's all I did. But you can't have that time with the Lord and try to get something out of it when there's all kinds of stuff going on and the radio's on and the TV's on and the music's playing in the background. You have to have silence.
Agreed.
Because that's when you hear the voice of God. And that's what's unfortunate in our culture. They're forgetting about God. And hopefully, our programs
listening
can do that.
Listening to God.
Listening for God.
Listening to God.
Not to the noise out there.
Yeah. Gosh, it's so true. We have a holy hour, my wife and I, every Monday in adoration. And it is just my favorite time of the week. You know, Sunday gets us going in Mass. And then the very next day, Monday, we're in adoration. And it's just amazing.
It's the fuel to keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best hour of the week.
Yeah, I enjoyed your book. Some of my favorite stories, a few of them were Caitlin Curtin's story of the baby flipping.
Oh, that was amazing.
During delivery. The Eucharist story was on the tongue. And then Julian Greg Alexander's story of conceiving and being open to life. And then Christine Haas' story of healing of their daughter who had seizures and they went away. And there's plenty more, but those are my top ones.
Yeah.
Well, it's really, I think, powerful because what we did in the book is Listening for God, we tried to bring together different experiences. Some of them were very dramatic, the stories that you just referenced, but others were kind of lighthearted. For example, our story of the angel at the train station in Italy, that was, you know, kind of fun and unique.
Sure.
And kind of one of those stories that makes the chills, you know, go up and down your arm and back of your spine. And then there's the really sweet story of Al Cresta. A lot of people know him for his you know, brilliant conversation and his great program. But a lot of people don't know that he's a gift for music. And I don't want to give the story away because I want people to get the book.
Yeah, it was a different side of him, though.
It was a very different side of him. And the fact that he was affirmed very quickly in his interest in music, pursuing music again, because he loves it so much, it's just really neat the way it happened. So what we're trying to say in this book is that God is speaking to us all the time. He uses everything at his disposal because he's God and he can do that. So he can speak through scripture. He can speak through nature. He can speak through music. He can speak through other people. But you have to be able to be at least open to him in order to recognize that he's speaking. And what's good about the book is that many of the people who share at the time they had their experience may not have been, your most on fire Christian. They're just something very unique. And what I like to call a God wink or a God sentence happened to them. And we've all had those experiences where they're just too coincidental. Where everything works out perfectly, this is a little bit full over the top, where there has to be something more to it. So the process is to get people to think about God. And that's why at the end of each chapter, I had the contributors write questions, words of wisdom, and then also a quote from the saints, because I want people not just to read it and say, oh, that's such a sweet story, and then go back to dinner or do what they're going to do. I want them to go a little bit more deeper and think, well, maybe that experience that I had was really God. And then to take it maybe one step further.
It's actually, because those stories are very personal to those individuals, and they are compelling. But some of those questions are very thought provoking to an application of our own lives, and a challenge for us to actually recognize God's existence in our life. I love that beyond all, because I think we probably sin more when we forget that God's right there with us, and to know that he's right there. These stories definitely do that.
What I got from the book is every one of us, everyone listening and all of us, have a story that needs to be shared. And maybe that's the answer to all the junk out there and all the darkness out there. If we would just share our story of how Christ has touched our life, hopefully that would inspire hearts.
Read the book. It definitely, definitely brings that to light. So I'm going to ask you a question about abortion. I don't know if you've heard what's been going on in Texas, but they're doing some great things with the abolish abortion movement. Have you heard much about that?
I've heard some. I have a lot of friends in Texas, very close with the Alexanders, Julian Greg Alexander, their marriage ministry based in Austin. I have heard some of it, but I've also been following a lot of what my coverage has been lately has been on a new administration and their attempts to push abortion everywhere, including internationally. So tell me more about it. I'm interested.
So abolish abortion, Texas, there's actually abolish abortion in every state. And so there's a lot of fundamentalist Baptists and a lot of different denominations that have joined together, but they're getting very wise in their approach. And so certain things, like in Texas, they put a referendum in. You can't name a bridge in Texas unless you vote to abolish abortion or allow to get to a vote. Wow. So there's like 40.
Smart thinking.
46 of our representatives have been forewarned that if they don't allow for it to pass through committee, then they've been forewarned. So November is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy in Texas for sure. We know, but we had the closest, the longest debate on the floor in the last legislative session was on abolish abortion. There were only two people that spoke out against it, and it went into the wee hours of the night. I have some friends, those are their even state reps. We're getting close here, but what's happening alternatively in parallel to this movement is there are sanctuary cities in Texas and mm-hmm. probably across the nation where the unborn are being protected in these sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. My hometown of Livingston, Texas, in East Texas, is one of those. I'm proud of that. Mm. So things are happening on the ground.
Well, I think we have to be creative, and we have to be very wise. And this allows us not only to really help protect more women, babies, and families, but it allows us to give a discussion on abortion, because the real discussion about abortion has not been had in the public square. And I know this because I used to, and it's so crazy when people, you know, see me, and I cover the March for Life every year for EW10. And my husband is a sidewalk counselor in Detroit, and all the stuff that we do for life. People cannot believe that I used to be pro-choice at one time. Mm. And what happened was, is I actually went through college thinking that, still identified as Catholic, but thinking that I knew so much when I knew squat about the issue. And I carried that opinion on into the newsrooms. And it wasn't until I sat down back in the 80s and did an interview for a public affairs show. And I had to bring in, back then we had to get both sides of the story, go figure. And I brought in a friend of mine who was a nurse. She's now a friend of mine. She wasn't at the time. And then someone from NARAL, this other woman, the nurse, was Catholic, devout Catholic, still is. And she worked with Right to Life Lifespan in Michigan, which is what the educational arm of the pro-life movement. She never brought religion into the argument because she knew it was a secular show, but she talked about what women do not know about abortion. And this was back in the 80s. She was talking about the fallout. She was talking about the research that was just starting to come out about the connection between abortion and breast cancer, talking about domestic violence that's increased, talking about the pressure women face. Majority of women aren't informed that there are other options besides abortion. So I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm like, what? Like, how is this even accurate? How could this be happening? So that story that I heard, and it took me a while to peel that onion and to really understand what was going on. But that story about life and the reality, it's not told. And I guarantee you that if you sit down with other people who call themselves pro-choice, they don't know anything about these things that are happening because the stories are not told in the secular media.
Yeah.
The survey that shows that report after report that has come out and about women and abortion, over 60% still say, in this day and age, in 2021, that if they have an abortion, it's because they were pressured to do so.
Wow.
They were pressured financially. They were pressured by a spouse. They were pressured by a parent all the time.
It's not like much of a choice.
No, it's not. Father Frank Bavone from Priest for Life always says women don't go have an abortion because they feel they have freedom of choice. They feel they have no freedom to choose anything else.
It's so true. Gosh, I get chills thinking about it.
Yeah. So what you're talking about and what you're doing in Texas is important because then you can tell the story in the secular media about the reality of abortion, which is rarely told.
And you talk about how the media doesn't cover even the March for Life. And I've been in that crowd. It's so empowering. So anybody in our audience that can make it to that event, it is powerful. It is amazing.
Yeah.
With John Paul II, you know, being such a champion for life, that's my story, made me truly like into the pro-life movement. And then going to the March for Life, you're sold, man. And so many young people, there's so much hope to seeing abortion end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is awesome to see people take action. You know, my wife was at the very first 40 Days for Life in Bryan, Texas, near College Station, Texas A&M University. And that was where Abby Johnson worked.
Right.
And so to see the powerful movement, I was there at those first vigils. And I feel famous myself, you know, just in God's eyes, hopefully, I pray.
Yes.
But just to be a part of those things that are, you know, seeing God's hand in all of that. And there's a powerful movement out there. So on the flip side of that, in our rural town of East Texas, we started a pregnancy crisis center, and it's still booming today. And so I think a lot of times we hear pro-choice folks say that, you know, we want to just stop and reduce their choices, but yet we're not offering solutions. That's just not true. There's so many alternatives.
We have to
help.
Give them the options and have the freedom to choose the best options.
Well, and the other thing is too, and there's a story of a woman who's post-abortive in the new book, Listening for God. And the reason she was suicidal is because of her abortions. And I don't want to give another story away, but that is incredible because it involves John Paul II. But anyway, I mean, the whole thing is, when you think about pregnancy resource centers, they do it with the majority, and you guys know this, majority are volunteers. Very few people are paid.
Yep.
And if they get money, they're getting it from people who are donating. They're not getting it from government aid. And what do the pregnancy resource centers do? not only do they give women information about the options that are available to them, but they also talk to them about, okay, so what do you need right now? What is it? Why are you pressured to have an abortion? Often it's finances. So what do? They provide clothes. They provide baby items. They have, most of them have stores in the back, and they have clothes and they have bassinets and, you know, cribs and all these different things that they need. And they have parenting classes. Yeah. Where they work with the moms, and off they try to bring the dads in, and they do this not just for a few months, not just for 1 year, but I speak at, you know, pro-life events all over the country, and a lot of them involve pregnancy resource centers. The vast majority of these pregnancy resource centers are working with these moms, these parents, for up to 4 years sometimes. Mm-hmm. I challenge anyone listening to this broadcast to go find an abortion mill that's going to do any of those things. Right. If someone comes in and says, well, I'm not so sure I want to have an abortion, they normally send them down the street to the pregnancy resource center.
Yeah.
She just described pregnancy help center there in San Angelo.
It's so true. And, you know, so oftentimes they have so much stuff, they don't even have room for it all.
Right.
There's abundance there
of people giving.
We just have to get the word out.
You know, my dad was involved in an organization there in San Angelo for years now, ever since I was in high school. I mean, he's been there for a long time helping out. And they're updating facilities, getting all these new equipment, you know, sonogram machines. It just takes a lot.
The ultrasound machine is key, right? Yes. You know, to see the baby, that will change hearts and souls.
And you know, that's the whole idea of listening for God. If you're really open to God, then you have to be open to what he's going to show you. That was the challenge that I had in my journey. What is God trying to say to me? What does he want me to see or hear differently? And he showed me when I had my, you know, reverge, and it was a process. And then even after I came back to the Catholic Church, and I was still in the secular media, and I thought I was going to be there permanently because I had my reverge, we had healed our marriage. I thought everything was hunky-dory. But then he started to show me things about the media that really upset me, the bias, the sensationalism, you know, the violence, all that kind of stuff. It had been there, but I wasn't aware of it or ignored it because I just pushed that aside because of my own reasons. So listening for God means being open to whatever he has to tell you. And one of the most important things that we do in that process, and number one, I kind of summarize in a talk I've developed about the book I call the 7 Steps to Serenity. The first one is surrender. The first one, you have to absolutely surrender. Mm. And you have to do that every day. I mean, absolutely. We say, you know, the Nicene Creed every week, right? And we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Well, okay, do you believe he's a maker of heaven and earth? Or do you just think he's, you know, he's just a nice teacher or a prophet? So that whole idea of submitting, and once we submit, and we can do that every day, then God realizes he has a heart, you know, with whom he can work. And it's just all about, okay, you are God, I am not. Here I am, Lord, I've come to do your will. That's the bottom line of the book. And then if you're listening for him, and he's got such a sense of humor, sometimes he's just a big show off and he likes to kind of do that kind of fun things. And I just a real quick story. I didn't put this in the book, but I have to tell you guys this. So I was at 2019. We were in Italy for my 60th birthday. And Italy is my favorite outside the United States.
The best.
My favorite place on the planet. And we went back to our favorite restaurant on our favorite beach in our favorite town of Italy on the Amalfi Coast, where I had celebrated my 50th birthday. And we're having this amazing dinner and the Prosecco is flowing. We're just having a great time and we're praising God the whole day. And after the dinner, we go into the restaurant, had a cute little bar. I mean, this place is like built into the side of a cave on the water. I mean, it's hello. Wow. So we go into the bar just kind of to listen to the music. There was an American group in there and there's a disc jockey playing. I looked at my husband and I said, you know what, hon? I said, you know what would be really perfect? And take you back, you know, 10 years to my 50th birthday, when we were on that same port at that restaurant, that the song kept playing that we fell in love with, the Four Seasons, Frankie Valli, the Four Seasons, You're Just Too Good to Be True. That for whatever reason, that song was playing on my 50th birthday and that became kind of our song. And so we're in the bar and I said to my husband, looking at the disc jockey and the people dancing, I said, this was an absolutely perfect day. And thank God for everything. I said, but you know what would be really amazing? If for whatever reason, in the next 20 minutes, we're here listening to the music, that we could hear Frankie Valli. And I swear to you, the minute I said Frankie Valli, all of a sudden the song comes up. You're just too good to be true. And then
that
I started
a quick yes and prayer.
Like, I know. I'm like, I look at God, I go, you are such a show off. I can't believe it. But literally it was on cue. I said, you know what would make this like unbelievably, that's even more awesome. Perfect. Bada boom, bada bing. Hey, you know, it's God. So it's no big deal. He is the God of the universe. It's not a big deal for him to put something on the disc jockey's heart to play that song. But that's yeah,
yeah. He had it planned before you even thought it, which is exactly. So great about God.
That's a great story. I can't believe that didn't make the
I know, that's an yeah. I have a question, and maybe you've alluded to it, but what was the spark for the book? I mean, I know you've had these collections of stories. You get to talk to awesome people all the time, like Joe and Tony. But what was the spark for the book, really?
I think really I wanted to put it together because when I've been doing this for a long time on my own and sharing these stories when I would do retreats and conferences. And I just felt because of everything I've been hearing every single day, you know, since COVID broke out last year. And just as a talk show host, people confide in you and they share, you know, their issues with you. And yeah. I just really felt people needed to be reminded. We have to get back to the basics of who God is. And what he promises, and that he does work in our lives. He is alive. He's not, you know, way far away, distant. You know, that song From a Distance drives me crazy because it makes it sound like God is not even aware of what's going on in our lives. And so I just wanted to do something that was very uplifting and encouraging. And I just really believe that we have to go back to the basics of the early church. And you think about what the apostles didn't have. Father John Ricardo, one of our great teachers, was based here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and people love him. He's all over the internet.
Awesome.
Great guy. I know he's fabulous. But he is always talking about the apostles when they first started after, you know, Jesus was ascended into heaven and leaving the apostles the Holy Spirit. But they didn't have seminaries. They didn't have churches. They didn't have Catholic schools. They didn't have, you know, holy religious orders. They didn't have monasteries. They had been with Jesus for 3 years, and so they had him, and they had nothing. And on top of that, they had so much persecution in the beginning of the early church and for many centuries. And yet, look at what they did, and look at how they brought Christianity to the world after our Lord ascended into heaven. So I think we need to get back to basics. We really do. And one of those things is to tell the stories, and that's what Listening for God is all about.
It's a great book.
Yeah, we started Rome Boys because we wanted to help evangelize and spread the gospel. So as we kind of close this interview, is there any thoughts to laity of ways that we can evangelize this crazy culture? And then the church is a mess right now, too. Right? How can we evangelize? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I heard from a listener actually just this morning on my program who said that he was really struggling because he has nieces and nephews that just do not follow the faith anymore because they're so scandalized by
scandal,
by McCarrick, by everything else that's happened, and you know, very disillusioned. And I said, you know what? I get it. And they have good points and they have valid concerns. I said, but I said, I'm not Catholic because of a bishop or a pope or a priest. I'm Catholic because of Jesus and the Eucharist. I'm Catholic because of the saints. I'm Catholic because of 2,000 years of church teachings that saved my life. And so if Jesus is who he says he is and he gave us the church, then, you know, I had this discussion years ago when I was going through a particular trial when my husband and I were in the diaconate and I went to Father John Ricardo, who's a very close friend. And I was livid. I was just very angry about what I was seeing and I was being exposed to some things that I didn't like. And he said, okay, T, I have one question for you. And I said, what? He says, is it true? And I said, is what true? He says, is the Eucharist true, or all the things you talk about, the dignity of women, Emilio Sigitatum, and blah, 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 blah. Is it all true? And I'm like, well, of course it's true. He said, okay, done. He said, you know, it's true. You realize that. Now you got to focus on what God wants you to do and keep moving. So the bottom line, I think, really is for the laity to remember, why are we Catholic? What is it? Is it because you like a particular priest or a particular parish, or is it who Jesus says he is in the Eucharist and 2,000 years of church teaching? That's number one. So really kind of pray about that. Why are we Catholic? Why are you deciding to stay Catholic? And number two is, have you told your story? What are you doing? Why are you Catholic? If you're staying Catholic and you love the church, what are you doing to tell people about Jesus? Have you invited somebody now that some of the restaurants are opening up again? Maybe you can invite someone for a cup of coffee. Maybe you can invite them to mass. Maybe you can invite them to listen to your program or my program. So number one, revisit why you love the Catholic Church. And also the other thing too for the lady is we have this great cloud of witnesses, as it says in Hebrews 12. And I don't think we take advantage of them nearly enough. The saints. I love the saints, especially St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. I mean, If you could see my home studio, it looks like a religious bookstore. I've got the army, you know, before me every day when I go on the show. I do my show from home. So get back to the basics and ask yourself, you know, why am I Catholic? What is it that I love so much about the faith? And what am I doing personally to witness to it? We are all called to evangelize by virtue of our baptism. You know, I'm married, my husband's a deacon, but it's not just up to the deacons and the priests and the bishops who get to give the homilies. It is, you know, we're all called, especially since Vatican II, we are all called to evangelize. And so, yes, we can pray for our church leaders, encourage them, and respectfully challenge them when they need to be challenged, because that's part of our responsibility. But at the end of the day, when we get to the pearly gates, God's not going to say, yeah, that priest, he could have done more. Yeah, I know you were really frustrated with that bishop. He's going to say, what did you do? What did you do with what I gave you?
Yeah.
So that's the big thing we have to look at.
All right, so I'm going to give our three RCIA candidates your book, Listening for God. Their names are Hayden, Mike, and Aaron. Is there any words that you can share with them now that I can, you know, take this soundbite and share with them as I hand them the book?
I would just tell them thank you for thinking about coming into the Catholic Church and to focus on Jesus. And, you know, I have my spiritual director always says, T, all things Christ, all things Christ. And make sure that you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But what did Jesus tell us? And what did St. Paul tell us in Timothy about the church being the pillar and foundation of truth?
Amen.
So to focus on Jesus and to dive into the teachings of the church. That will be my recommendation.
Love it. You fire me up.
So keep it to the state of the basics. Keep the basics.
Yeah.
Back to the basics. Is that the title of your next book?
Well, you know, I think this book, we were just talking, I was interviewing Julie Alexander on my show, and she was sharing some great marriage stories. They're also in the book, as you mentioned earlier, but I think maybe we're going to do a Listening for God part two. I haven't talked to Sophia Institute Press about this yet, but I'm really thinking that we need to do one on marriage and family, because
God
speaks to us through marriage, because there's so many miraculous healings that are going on that we don't hear about, and people need that encouragement. So,
and if we solve the problem of marriage and families, then society and the culture, and
bingo, the domestic and
the church will.
Yep. And as JP2 said, everything goes by way of the family.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And so, now is definitely the time, right?
Yeah.
So do it.
Teresa, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's valuable, and gosh, you'll probably be up early in the morning talking again, right?
I'm just so embarrassed that I actually wrote down the wrong day. So thank you for forgiving me. Yeah, I appreciate it. But you guys are great.
So hey, where can our viewers find more about you?
Yeah, and your book, it's paper bound, right?
It's paperback, Listening for God, Discovering the Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us. They can order it. Probably the easiest way is through my website. It's just teresatomeo.com/listeningforgod. And breaking news. I want to tell you guys, we're doing a Listening for God virtual online retreat coming up in March. And I'm looking at my calendar. It is the weekend. Actually, it starts on... it's a weekend of March 19th, starting on the Feast of St. Joseph.
Yes. Awesome.
So the 19th through the 21st, and stay tuned to Catholic Connection and my Facebook page and my website, teresatomeo.com. We have amazing speakers. We just confirmed Father Chris Alar from the Divine Mercy Center in Stockbridge, and we've got Al Cresta and a whole bunch of other people that'll be speaking, Steve Ray, and people will be sharing. And it's going to be different than their stories in the book. So it's going to be great ideas on how to listen for God.
Awesome. Amen. Thank you so much, Teresa, for your time. Yeah.
Thank you so much again for joining us, Teresa.
Now I got to have you guys on my show.
What?
We would love it.
Whoa. Yeah. If you do that, oh my goodness, you'll make three little boys very happy. That would be
and
amazing.
Our three viewers are mothers.
Our mothers. Oh, how we love our mothers.
Oh, I'm sure you guys, I know you have a big audience. I've seen a lot of stuff about you guys online. So thank you for your patience and your understanding and having me on.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. Yeah, it's our pleasure, our honor.
Yeah, we loved having you on, and we look forward to, it'd be great to be on your show.
I'll come back anytime you want, no problem. If you want to talk about it, I'll come back on.
Well,
I owe you one because I was late for this interview.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Well, you owe us nothing, but we will grace you with our presence.
That'd be great.
Your ratings might go down a little bit that
day. Thanks for everything. We'll be sure to share this, share this in our community and through our online community and so forth. Tony does a great job of that. Joe will make us all sound beautiful. And we'd ask folks to please
subscribe. Yeah. Hit that like button, share with your friends. If you feel the need or the want, please hit that donation button and help support us and the mission that we're trying to spread the gospel. And
as a not-for-profit, just to be clear.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And to bring the good news to everyone.
Yeah.
In the meantime, remember, be real.
Be bold.
Be Catholic.
God bless.